When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
All right, welcome back to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a football podcast mostly about opinions that aren't really that serious. Follow us on IG and Twitter at WTATL Official. Subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to right now so you never miss a new drop. This is episode
135.
Like clockwork.
That was smooth.
Not even rehearsed. But yeah, we're back. Episode 135. Welcome to all the listeners, new or old. Welcome. You might have heard his voice already. Got a guest on the show. Back again to defend or just talk about United.
Come on, round of applause. Come on, Mark.
Kojo. I don't know the colour code.
Kojo from free in midfield.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back again. The chief perpetrator ran away. So
That's what he does, man.
Honestly, he heard you was coming and said, you know what, I haven't got this in me today, man.
Yeah. Do you know what he did? You know, like, he heard that Kojo was coming on, he went on, like, flight scan or whatever. Yeah. He was just like, cheapest ticket to Spain or whatever.
Yeah, gonna start calling him McTominay because he runs away from the job.
Oh, he would love that.
Right.
Love that.
Welcome. That was a good welcome.
I like that. Yeah. Listen, they can't say, listen, we've been treating them with the guests recently.
It's true. So yeah, welcome back. Do you want to plug your thing?
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a weird one because we decided to do a little bit of a rebrand.
Okay.
So free midfield will change a little bit. The name will...
Wait, is this an exclusive?
It's an exclusive.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's an exclusive.
The name may not be...
That was not meant.
So the name is not going to be free midfield anymore because the original three of us, it's just as life happens, third member has, it's not his fault. Life goes on.
Life goes on. So you're moving from a midfield three to a double pivot.
Essentially, there you go.
Did you just do the reveal?
Who knows?
Imagine that's the name. We'll leave the name.
We're not there just yet.
We haven't decided, but we are going to make a decision probably by tomorrow, actually. So since I'll give you guys an exclusive, I will message you guys in your group chat and or the DM and let you know what it is and what's coming.
Love that.
But big thing, just on that note as well, new beginnings. And we'll get into... Obviously, listen, if you're a United fan, last week's episode probably wasn't easy listening. There are culprits for that. No names.
Abdi.
But listen, it wouldn't have been easy listening, let's be honest. So we'll get into that after. But I was going to call you free in midfield. Obviously, there's a rebrand coming. What are your plans for this season? What can we look forward to?
So free midfield, the name free midfield obviously just restricts it to football. But what we've noticed is, we've known for a long time anyway, is that me, Cahill, even the third member, Darren, and many of us that come on, we love more than just football. So the new name is going to be a bit more open. It's going to allow new sports, new conversations, new topics. That's the idea.
So you're going for a more general kind of vibe.
Yeah. And we kind of took the idea from you guys, from the Terrace and some of the others.
Terrace, yeah.
Because like for you guys to name. We'll talk about that later, or talk about it, like it opens so much. I can listen for the first time. Think, okay, they're talking about football. What if they're talking about UFC next week? It actually motivated us to think more about an idea. So you guys actually played a part in that, if we're being honest. Because
I love that. Oh, where's the applause, man? Come on.
Yeah. I'm really scared to press the wrong button.
We'll definitely announce it by this week because the first podcast should be Monday.
Okay.
When that drops, we'll reshare it.
Appreciate that.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So yeah, exciting
love
times.
That.
Exciting
love that. Times. All right. So we could talk about what happened, something historic this weekend, or Kojo, I'll actually leave it down to you. You can address the crud. So it's either you address the crud or we talk about something historic.
You know what? Let's go historic first. Okay. Simply because the crud starter has not turned up. So we can deal with that after, you know what I mean? But let's go with history first because it was a beautiful story on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kind of poetic that England played Germany at Wembley.
I know.
And as history goes, England tend to beat them in the final.
Listen, we need to snap that manager up for our men's team because Southgate needs to learn a thing or two.
Crazy. She's won that now back-to-back.
Holland
and England.
Oh, she won with the Dutch as
well.
She's never lost a Euros game.
Yeah. She's serious.
Yeah.
I like this woman.
She don't play.
Yeah, I like her too.
She doesn't play. I mean, I think we conceded, three goals across the whole tournament.
Yeah.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong, 3 or 4, which is highly impressive. Did you guys watch the game?
I did.
I've seen the goals, saw bits of the game, not all of it, obviously. I couldn't.
Wasn't it beautiful just to see close to 90,000 people there?
Amazing. Yeah. So lots great. Of like young girls in the stadium, like seeing something historic happening, and hopefully that inspires them to, you know, take up football as a hobby or even further. And we see, you know, people around the stadium become footballers in the future and win more trophies.
I think it will definitely put women's football on the map. And Ian Wright, I agreed with everything he said. It needs to be more accessible.
Yep.
Like, we need to show more women's football matches on TV. You know, I'd happily watch them. I've watched a couple. I've actually been to a Spurs women's game. I've enjoyed it. And I think the more accessible it is, the more we can promote it and the more people start to enjoy it more. Because I've seen a couple of the games, the quality of the football, listen, the goals we've scored, I was like,
that Russo back heel is so cheeky.
I mean, that's going down in proper history, that one, as is the performance throughout the tournament as well. It's just so good to see, man. Yeah. And after, since 1966... we've been screaming it's coming home for how long?
It's home.
Yeah.
And the women have brought it home, man. And the women have brought it home.
So I think it was poetic.
Always rely on
man.
A
it
woman, just saying.
But I just feel... Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, we're lucky to have Southgate as manager of England's man team.
Here we go.
Hopefully we'll be winning one in the next 50 years or so. For me, on a personal note, being a PE teacher in the past as well, a lot of girls did not want to play football because it was seen as a boys thing. That kind of goes back to when we were young as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of thing, you know, girls weren't really interested in playing football, especially with the boys.
Yeah.
Because you know how boys are in general when they're young. So for the women's team to win, like the motivation for girls just watching in general, like you said, you know, just be like, okay. This is huge.
Yeah.
And the biggest attendance in Wembley as well.
Yeah.
That includes your club because you were there as well.
Okay, yeah.
Nice one.
But honestly, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. And the quality of the goals, the Russo goal, the back heel, what makes it so beautiful is that's a pressure situation.
Yeah.
And she's back heeling it against one of the best teams in the world.
On
the planet. And 4-0, and then obviously in the final, 2-1. Oh, man. Stunning. Yeah.
Let's talk about the first goal, the chip.
Yeah, like, that composure.
This is what I was thinking, like, to do that in a final.
That is
nice. That's serious.
And it wasn't even, the initial pass as well.
That
completely defence splitting.
Yeah.
Just essentially took the whole team out of the game there. And then that finish is...
It's crazy.
I mean, it's something you'd expect at the highest level of football.
Yeah.
And it goes to show just actually the level of football in the women's game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fast improving to a point now where 10 years ago, the quality in the women's football game wasn't of the best standard. And that was due to, not due to women themselves, but due to things we've just touched on. So access to football, so on and so forth. But now, I mean, I watched that game on Sunday and I just thought, this could easily be a men's game. This is a really good game of football.
And I think as well, it's like, I thought, you know, maybe this is like my thoughts coming into it. I was like, I'm not going to be as into it. But I was fully into it. I was like,
I was tense. You know?
When it went 1-1, I was like, I was stressed. I was like, no. Because I was thinking, no, it's typical for Germany now to come back and win this. It's a proper German thing to do in it. Like, but then, I don't even talk about the second goal. It just, I lost it, bro. Mm. The celebration.
That was everybody, her celebration.
Yeah. When she took her top off, I was like, good, bro. That's good. It's proper,
reminding me, like, Italy in the World Cup finals and stuff. But it just, you want bedlam. Yeah. And that's what it was. It's just where everyone went nuts.
I don't know if you've seen the, so you know how Italy played Argentina at Wembley? Euro winners versus Copa America winners. They're doing that now with the women's game.
Oh, really?
So England are playing Brazil.
So
you were cheering them on Sunday. Who are you going to be cheering on? Who are you going to be cheering on when?
Don't make me sing the national anthem. I'll do it right now.
So, because Brazil women, I'm not sure when this was.
Same day.
Who did they play? Do you know?
They played Chile.
Cool. Interesting. So the... Lionesses. Did Brazil women have a nickname of any sort?
I don't know.
But that game's coming soon, so that'll be another good watch. Okay, and to be honest, I'm telling you now, as someone who admittedly didn't watch much women's football before this tournament, I'm really looking forward to that game now. And it's the side of football now, women's football, that I'll be tuning into and keeping more in tune with.
Interesting that now the players' names are more common, like... You know Chloe Kelly, who scored the winner. Leah Williamson, captain of England.
Love
you know, so they're starting
Beth Mead,
And so they're starting to become like household names, and you know, something that we can actually like talk about. Whereas before, we would have struggled. Let's be honest, like and some of the goals in the women's Premier League is just outrageous.
They are.
The name of the, is it Kerr, the Chelsea striker?
Sam Kerr?
Sam or Fran?
Yeah, Sam Kerr, yeah. She is outrageous, bro.
Ridiculous.
Some of the goals she scores, I'm like, bloody hell, man. Like on the final day, it was Arsenal and Chelsea to win the league. Mm. And Arsenal needed Chelsea to lose, or I can't remember if it was lose or draw, but Arsenal needed to win. Arsenal were winning. And I think they were playing West Ham, and it was like 1-1. Sam Kerr scored this ridiculous volley from outside the box. And I was like,
damn,
she's too cold, man. She's so good. So it's good, man. Football came home.
Yeah,
football came home.
It.
Did you see Trafalgar Square on the Monday yesterday?
It was buzzing, isn't it?
Buzzing, packed out. Yeah.
Like you said, Mark, it was packed out. People were celebrating. I'm so glad. I'm so happy for them that they got the support. They deserve the support. Iconic.
100%. 100%. And I saw this thing on Twitter. This was like before the final, and someone was saying that they said like my daughter is Arsenal crazy. Like she watches every women's Arsenal game. She goes to it, blah, blah, blah. But I can't find a team for her. My boy, he's not that interested in football, but I can find any team like that.
Yeah.
And so where is the football for my daughter who wants to pursue who is crazy about football? And that's what I love. Like before, like you were saying in the past, well, could girls really get into football? It seemed more as a boys thing. But now it's like having girls crazy about football and wanting to pursue it. It's a hobby. Go with their dads or even their mums. Take their mums a lot like and really get into it. And that's that. Like I love that about football now.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It was just something needed for the country more than anything. I think it got to the stage where if England didn't even win, the level of effort, the style of football, all of that just would have picked up regardless. Mm. Because, like you said, you're mentioning names right off the bat. A lot of us watching England at the beginning of the tournament, and towards the end as well, would not have known many names.
I'll be honest, even me.
See, there you go. And, you know, now it's, you know, Sam Kerr. And even that she's on the front of FIFA now, next to Mbappe.
That's crazy.
Sam Kerr and Kylian Mbappe together. Come on, man. Like,
nah. That's actually... Nah, come on, man. That's it. That is it.
Yeah. Honestly, it's incredible. So, yeah, I'm glad. I'm just glad that they won it. Credit to Germany as well, because the football they played for their goal was actually insane.
And they were probably the best team in the tournament. Yeah. Like, the football they played throughout the tournament, and I think they were the lowest, they conceded the least amount of goals the entire tournament.
And obviously, unfortunately for them, their best player had to pull out just before kickoff.
Yeah, their top scorer. Mm,
that was unfortunate, yeah.
Yeah. But shout out Beth Mead, man. Top scorer, most assists, player of the tournament. And... Arsenal player, what can I say?
There was no need to drop that last one.
We ain't got a lot to celebrate, so we're celebrating.
I would be celebrating that. I would be. There's not a single Spurs player in the team. I thought not one.
That's why we won. I'm not going to lie.
I know, that is. Hang on a minute. Trust me.
She agreed. That's
this one's for you, son.
You
set me up.
Listen, it's going to be there forever now. You agreeing that England won something because there was no Spurs players.
And what were we saying? So do we think the men have any chance of making it a Euros World Cup double in 2022?
Listen, not with this manager. I'm sorry, I just don't...
Quality-wise in the team, yes. Like, there's enough quality in the team to win the World Cup. But I do agree with Tans about the manager. But then again, when it comes to tournament football, it might be a little bit less about the manager, maybe more about mentality of the players. Is it too much pressure?
You know what? That's a good point. Nope. Because I will say you have to respect the courage from the women's team. You could tell they were, I don't know, I sensed they had slightly more
passion. Of course,
passion.
But it was, that, for me, a lot of that come from the manager.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to
think,
the Lionesses, up until the point of hiring new manager.
That's very true, yeah.
I mean, weren't putting in performances like this.
Plus, they have Phil Neville, man. I mean,
true.
Uninspiring.
True.
Let's not talk about any Neville, brother. Trust me on that one.
The sensitive topic.
Yeah. What was I about to say? Oh, yeah, just on your point about managers maybe not meaning as much when it gets to that knockout bit of a World Cup, for example. But it's so distinct in my mind in the Euros final against Italy when we went 1-0 up.
Yeah.
And it seemed like to me, I mean, coming out for the second half and even after we scored the first, we took our foot off the gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that to me is a manager's decision, not a player's decision.
I meant more tactically, as in like you don't need a manager who's like completely tactically, like you don't need a Pep who's just going to like tactics to death.
Yeah.
You do need someone who's a good people person, man manager, going to get you up for the game because like these are one-offs. So like they need to... encourage you for this one game and then we move on to the next. So I feel like that's what I meant by you don't need a man like...
But the whole man management character thing, see, I don't even know if I like Southgate. I just don't warm... I don't have an affiliation to him. I had more affiliation to the Women's England manager. I just like her, like the way she comes across. You can tell that the players buy into her. I just... Southgate is boring.
Boring football, boring manager. I was about to say, you said boring and the football is boring.
At the time, it was a very safe... decision.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, how long has he been managing now? We've had the obviously. Listen, let's make this very clear. First of all, because he's holding a lot of slander,
like
his record at major tournaments for England is pretty good.
No, it is, to be fair. Yeah.
But you know, you got lost in the final of the Euros, and then prior to that, the semis at the World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not bad going.
This reminds me of someone.
Uh oh.
Reminds me of a Norwegian, but the name's just not coming out of my head. I feel like he managed my club before, but...
Oh!
It'll come back to me. It'll come back to me. Yeah. One of them ones, yeah.
Yeah, we'll think.
Yeah. His initials are OGS. If anyone's looking,
No, sure, man.
I don't know. I've never... OGS?
Yeah, to be honest, I wasn't thinking OGS, so... I'll be thinking of someone else.
Yeah. There you go. Has a Norwegian ever managed a football? I don't know.
Who knows?
There was a PE teacher... He was Norwegian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the guy. Yeah, there you go.
Now, so I don't know. So I feel like England should should they should. Mm. At the very least, I think they should be aiming for like a repeat of semi-final to the final because they've got the quality. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the squad, they've got... And for the first time, we said it at the Euros, they've got so much strength and depth in like midfield and attacking positions. Not so much defence, but they're there, man.
I agree. I think this crop of players, that's like... Put this out there straight, is an unbelievable crop of players. And there are even players, your Madisons, currently at the moment, your Rashfords, who don't even make that squad.
It's true.
So this is an unbelievably talented group that we've got at the moment. And I think they just deserve a braver manager than Gareth Southgate.
I agree. Yeah.
Outside of everything else, look, there's a lot more that we'd want from our manager, but someone who's brave, this squad needs that.
Yeah.
And badly, I think. And he needs to be brave in his selections. I don't like this loyalty that he has to players. You know, be brave in your selections. Pick players based on form, based on merit. Your Maguires, I mean, you know.
It's just tiring.
It's just deja vu for me.
It's just tiring.
Man.
It's just...
Getting really bad flashbacks.
And then you see like five right backs and it's just like...
Yeah, like what's that all about?
Can't lie. What is that about? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because you've got... Okay, Chilwell got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had Shaw... you have Mitchell from Palace.
Yes.
Didn't take him.
No.
Got a couple others, no? Maybe I'm just lost for names right now. But
our left backs are a bit of a premium.
Yeah. We're not blessed in the left back department. We're probably, you've got like your Cresswells and your Targets. Yeah. Like they don't meet that standard.
But to be fair, Target has kind of played well. He played well for Villa.
And he's played well for Newcastle.
Yeah, so, you know, it's five right backs and then putting one of them right back. And then Tyrone me.
I don't know. Cody as well. Crazy. I'm sorry.
I mean, but Mings must have something on Southgate. I don't know how he keeps.
Have you seen on that note? And I'm not looking to steer the conversation in another direction wholly, but have you seen that he's no longer Villa captain?
Yeah.
So John McGinn's been made permanent captain, and that to me says that Steven Gerrard is essentially saying, I don't even count on you to be like my centre back now. It's going to be like a Diego Carlos and Konsa partnership, to me, is what I'm reading into that.
I mean, it's tough to say because we don't know.
It's very exactly. It's very tough to say, but you don't. Just to me, you have every right to choose who your captain is, but I just feel like it gives him that power now to say you're not in this 11 for me week in week out anymore, and that decision to me kind of signifies that.
I mean, because we've always said it here that we always thought that Konsa was the better centre back at Villa,
And he didn't bring Diego Carlos in to just chill.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for 30 million, Villa aren't spending that money for Diego Carlos to just sit on the bench.
Yeah, that's a fair point actually. Yeah, because Carlos is better than Mings. That's because of a shadow of a doubt. To be fair, there are a lot of people in Villa I feel like that are better than Mings. but it's because Mings is that typical throwback. I say throwback. That's it might even be disrespectful to the throwbacks, but you know, they like a big, tall centre back.
Yeah.
But they don't think about what he's actually really good at, more his size. And on top of that, if we're talking about today's modern game, if you will, he doesn't bring those qualities into the team either. So if England want to play a progressive game, well, Southgate, they won't. But if they wanted to, he's not someone that you can do that with. So, yeah, maybe Gerrard probably didn't make the right choice. And,
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Because, obviously, for the Nations League, England got pasted by Hungary in it. Hungary. So.
Do you know what? I actually forgot that even happened.
So did that.
I actually forgot that happened. I'm not going to lie.
Sackable offence, in my opinion.
I mean, he's got, like... I forgot what the saying is, but he's got the World Cup semi-final and the Euros final to fall back on when these results
happen. That's the saying, bro. I'll credit in the bank.
It was 4-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 4-0. So and then they lost at Wembley as well. It was 1-0, I think.
Yeah, their games were terrible. They were horrible.
So he's got credit in the bank for being first loser. And credit in the bank for basically doing stuff that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did.
Who?
That's his name, OGS. I had to think about it. That's why I was quiet for like 5 minutes. So, man, you have to let it go, man. You have to let him go. Yeah. It's done.
Yeah. This. I mean, there's no chance they'll do it before this tournament in November. Oh. But anything less than the quarters, I think he's a goner straight away.
Yeah.
Anything after the quarters, we'll see how progressive his style of football is. But I mean, there could be a case, not from me, but from the FA, to say, you know what, we'll carry on. We'll carry
it
on.
It will
with
be
you.
Interesting who they would replace him with.
I would love someone like Graham Potter.
Yeah, Graham Potter, but would he be willing to do that so early on in his career?
Yeah, no, yeah.
I just think it's kind of a retirement job.
Bring back Don Wenger, no, man. Just give him one final.
I don't think
international should be seen as a retirement job.
I don't know, but that's how I see it.
Yeah, I hear that. Most managers at international level have
been there, kind of.
With that, done their club career.
I know, and they're at that stage now.
But where it's like
when Brazil won the World Cup in 2002, Philippe Scolari, well, he wasn't at the end of his career.
True. That's an interesting point. Had he entered the European coaching sphere at that point?
No. He had just managed in Brazil.
Maybe that's why. That's actually why I make that point, because I don't really know where I'm going with this. But
no, he had done bits in Brazil.
He had done bits in Brazil at club level. And then was he manager in 06 as well?
No, he was manager of Portugal.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Donny's been about.
Yeah. And then he managed here in Europe and stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That,
then,
yeah.
He did his club stuff. But in the main, I do hear
no, Tanya's point. What I'm trying to flip that, I'm like, but why is that? Like, winning the World Cup is probably one of the greatest honours you could have on your CV. As a player, why shouldn't it be the same as a manager?
I guess because as a manager, you've got that football fever, that bug. And if you're an international manager and you've got your group of players together with you maybe just three times a year rather than every day of the week.
I hear that.
That's my point, yeah.
I hear that.
They might look at it as just like you're good for the tournaments alone. Whereas when you imagine a club, you've got league games. Can we trust you? I mean, Scolari, I don't think he was a bad manager, but it didn't work out at Chelsea, really.
Let's be fair.
He wasn't bad at Chelsea. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he was bad.
But let's be fair. He wasn't given enough time.
You get
sacked in 8 months.
Yeah, but then that's Chelsea for you.
Yeah.
But people would use that as a bat to beat him with.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be looked upon favourably. Same as Van Gaal, came from the Dutch side. Didn't do bad with United. Champions League and then FA Cup the next year. But they're like, they expected United to be challenging for a lot more. He didn't do that. So is that really good? I don't know. So, I do hear Tanya's point, because it's kind of looked upon quite disrespectfully.
Someone like I never know how to say this guy's name, Joachim Love or whatever his name is.
Joachim Love.
I don't ever remember him managing a club side before managing...
He managed Germany, honestly, for about 50 years straight. Like, this guy was just there. Every tournament, he was like, right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't remember him managing a club side. So, and he's won the World Cup and stuff. It'll be interesting to see him manage a club side and see if he can...
I mean, at the end, he was kind of forced out. Like, at the end, it started to take a little turn for the worst.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd been there a little bit too long.
But who's to say we'll go English again? We might not. We might.
I'm kind of eager. I know we're trying to talk about positive football, but I'm gonna just take a little turn here.
Oh,
I'm kind of eager to watch Jose Mourinho do it.
Yeah, me too.
Because I feel like he'd be perfect.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I could get behind that. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I would love it.
I think he'd be perfect, and you know he won't pick players based on
players. Oh,
it's
absolutely.
So no true. Chance. Yeah.
True.
And he gets the best out of Harry Kane. I don't care.
Easily.
Boy.
Easily.
You know what? Get it done.
I'm kind of down for it personally. I don't mind. And the press conferences will be...
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
My God. If a player gets injured just before a tournament, he's going to rip into that manager. I'm just going to sit there and just watch it. He can say whatever he wants to say.
Or if a player gets caught on a night out, he's going to do it publicly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to call Luke Shaw fat again. Just
and you know what? It's needed.
Just call him that. Like, just do it.
Not the fat pot. But just how he just calls up. He just calls up players. Because players today, I feel like a bit, not babied might be the wrong word, but maybe just protected a bit too much. You can't really say too much about them. Social media, yes, it's a terrible place and say a lot, but in the general aspect, when you try and say something bad, or not even bad, just sort of constructive about a player, it's like, well, why are you talking about my player for? You can't do this, you can't do that. They start calling, like, Man United players last season were getting a bit touchy about Rio Ferdinand saying stuff. So they message him and be like, why are you saying that for?
Yeah.
Like,
that's messaged him?
Yeah.
He said he addressed it.
He addressed it on his podcast and it's like, really? He can't even say, hey, you're not playing well. which is the truth.
Yeah.
So
they are babies, you know, these footballers.
Exactly. Yeah, it's because they were saying that.
Did he state names?
He didn't have to. One of them was definitely Jesse Lingard.
Yeah.
Okay.
But definitely.
And they were saying Rashford. Like, you need to support you need to support the club. You're a Man United legend. What? Why? You know.
Oh my
god. But why though? Why?
No. That
he did his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do my job.
He did his job.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think Mourinho would be perfect for England.
Put it this way, we're guaranteed to win it. Everything if we was to get Jose. That's my
opinion. Everything.
All right, just.
I'm here.
Everyone chill. We was on a good. That was a good conversation there until you said that.
Tanya, you've gone to the Everton thing again. You just need to slow this down.
Okay, fine.
Slow this train down.
Let's move on.
Because you know Tanya got excited a couple seasons ago and said that
Everton were going to win the Premier League. I did not say that.
Off the basis of
because they signed James Rodriguez.
Don't listen to them.
And Ancelotti.
Yeah,
Ancelotti.
And Alan. And Tanya got a bit excited.
He couldn't get out of there quick enough, man. He was there. He's gone in a
Tanya was like, they're going to win the Champions League in a couple years. Oh. It was a crazy time to be on this podcast. It was, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So I'm just looking at the clock and it's crud o'clock. So
I just want to say quickly, are you about to play something? All right. I just want to announce, only Junior has heard this.
Yeah, so
me and Tanya don't know what's being said. Kojo, I feel like obviously Abdi knows you're coming on today, and he knows that you were coming on with an element of crud after what was said last week. Fair. So I feel like there could be a bit directed towards you. Who knows?
That's cool.
But yeah, I'm hearing this for the first time as well.
Okay.
All right, make sure you play this on the podcast later. I'm out in sunny Spain, so I just wanted to let you guys know that I have some questions. First one goes to the punk called Mark. Obviously, he was gassed at Darwin Nunez scored his first goal for Liverpool. But why did he cap and say he had a fantastic performance where he did three things? One of them was miss a one-on-one. And then the second one was he won a penalty because he headed the ball towards the corner flag and it hit Ruben Diaz's hand. And then the third one, he headed it in from the six-yard box and celebrated like he won the Champions League. Second question goes to Kojo. Actually, I've got two questions for Kojo. Firstly, can you tell me about that skit called Ronaldo who left the stadium at halftime because he doesn't respect Man United, and how he's certain man's goats, but you know, he's not portraying goat behavior, whereas my goat is out here scoring screamers in important games. And second question goes to second question is, can he tell me about their signing Hasbullah and what their partnership is going to be? Is it going to be the little big centre back partnership with Varane and Hasbullah, or is it going to be the freak show with Maguire and Hasbullah? So yeah, let me know what you think and have a great podcast, guys.
This guy, bro. This guy. Man said Hasbullah.
That's actually finished me. I'm gone.
Do you want me to address first?
Yeah,
you go first. Yeah, go on.
Cool. All right. First of all, don't chat Champions League, Abby. That's for the big boys. All right.
Whee!
I don't want to hear no more Champions League talk from you.
Did you call him Abby?
All the same thing.
Wait, Abby. Okay.
Yeah, that's for the big boys, my boy, man. Just chill on that front. I don't even want to, because you know. Look, we all watched. I know me and Abdi definitely watched that game on Saturday evening. Mm-hmm. Other people were out here doing other things. Me and Abdi were quite active in our total chat. And Abdi openly said, actually, I don't know what his exact word it was, but context for Kojo, actually, Abdi has written this guy off completely. Yeah, completely.
He's written him off.
He's not a fan.
Wow.
He thinks he's going to fail, and he's given him a 3-month grace period.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Shamak, by the way.
Trust me.
Although we got Shamak for free, so.
Mad.
Fair point.
Yeah, his performance was really good, Abdi. In terms of, I said it in the chat. I don't need to say it again. But energy levels, just general link up play. You got to remember, this is a new team, a new style of football, a new country. I don't really know what else to say, but he will bite his He will bite his words. What's the phrase?
Eat his words.
He will eat his words. Bite his words.
That's
you
what
know.
We're here for.
Abdi, you will eat your words, and I will be getting a live apology from you every single episode this season. So hold that. And that's all I'm going to address on that front. But I'm going to be honest with you, that was a funny voice note, so I'm letting you off of more slander.
He's been watching Lacazette for the last 4 years, so he's not used to strikers moving and doing good link up. Sorry, by the way. Keyword is good. You know, not using batty. There you go. Sorry.
Listen, you were talking about flashbacks earlier. I'm having them now. But thank God we've been freed from that nonsense, and we've got two strikers who actually can run and move and stuff. So
listen, Abdi, you think your strikers just he scored 7 preseason goals? But listen, the time will come. Judgment day will come. Also, it's not just you who can dish it out. So I've got a close eye on Jesus and Arsenal, because you force me to do this. Oh yeah. You force it out of me. So
it sounds like a villain's
origin story.
You force me to do this.
So yeah, my boy, I'll be keeping a close eye.
Over to you, Hasbulla and the Sket.
So we'll just the goat thing first. So firstly, it was a friendly against Rayo Vallecano. Secondly, Ronaldo left with a lot of other senior players because that's what senior players do. Mm-hmm. So, firstly, mind your business. Number two, Messi's not your goal. We're going to address your real goal, Henri. Uh-oh. Apologies to you, by the way, because you're a cool guy. But I'm going to go for this guy. Yeah? Your actual goal, and you're talking about scoring goals to get teams into the Champions League. Uh-oh. Well, if we're going to address the Champions League, your goal went to a final and did what?
Oh, hey, I'm here.
In fact, how many finals? How many finals did you score in?
Zero.
Thank you. Right. But Michael was scoring in every final he's been for Real Madrid, for Man United. You know, so hey, there you go. Goats. And Hasbulla. It's funny. You're talking about height because you had a really, really tall centre back and he didn't niche Mertesacker. So, you know, I mean, if you want to talk about height, he's 5'9", but he still destroy your team. He'll walk into your defence. No. Challenge me on that.
I'll challenge you on that.
But Ben White?
He's not better than Ben White.
He's better than Ben White.
Have you seen Martinez in the Premier League?
I don't need to see him in the Premier League. He's better than Ben White. Stop it. He's better than Ben White.
No, you're chatting worse.
Alright, cool. You didn't sign the best centre back from Brighton, but that's another discussion for another day.
That might be the case.
Saliba, he's unproven, so I'll give him time. He's a young G. He's coming through. Let's see what he does. You know what I'm saying? So
he gets a 3-month grace period. Abdi's gonna have to hold these grace periods back.
Yeah, let's run that.
And then after 3 months,
let's run that. Let's run that.
Why do I always have to mop up for Abdi, man? Fighting
his battles. This guy chooses violence. He's not even here. He knew you was gonna hold
but
the brunt of it.
I know.
If Saliba does not pop within the first 3 months, his nickname is gonna be Bonjour Bramble. You're welcome.
Oh, but God.
We'll catch you on the next exciting episode. No.
Man's lost for words. Man doesn't know what to say.
Bonjour, Bramble.
No, Tanya, don't write that down.
I'm writing that down. I'm sorry. I'm writing that down.
Oh, my goodness me. Can you not just text him this?
Every time I message in the DMs, he doesn't respond. He knows it's for him, but he doesn't respond. That's why I called him McTominay. So, hey, there you go.
No, but let's get Kojo's thoughts on Man United, the transfers.
I thought that's
pre-season.
Where we were going.
Is that where we're going?
Yeah.
I feel like
let's
that was
go there.
Yeah. Wait, can I ask you one question then? Because obviously you listened last week.
Yes.
Thank you for that. We appreciate each and every listener, people who listen to our episodes. Yeah. What did you think of our predictions for top four?
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
And listen, it was last week, so you might not remember explicitly like which order people had their teams in, but what I can say is not a single person had Man United in there. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, that doesn't surprise me because it's taken me, I'm still trying to figure out whether United can do it. Let me not lie. It's not that I don't have faith in Ten Hag. I know he's got a system, he wants to implement it, the rest of it. I am happy with his signings. I don't think it's enough. But for going for top four, I'm not firstly convinced by Chelsea signings either. I've not, and that's just me. I'm not a big fan of Koulibaly.
Really?
Yeah. I've never been a big fan of him. I know he's a good defender. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know if he's... I've been watching Napoli for a couple of years, and he seems like when they need to get over the line, he's one of the players that fall culprit to not performing on the night. So I don't know if I can trust him.
Okay.
Tottenham have made some good signings as well. I would say because they've got Conte as manager, that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. It's just there's still a couple of players. I know Spurs fans as well, Tanya included, obviously, would want some players that are still in the starting 11 that shouldn't be in there or just need improvement on. And with Arsenal as well, Arsenal have improved a lot. Actually, I was looking at their squad 2 years ago to now, actually. It's crazy. Very different. Yeah. It's very different, so that's good. My question is about Arteta. I'm not on the Cahill side of he's terrible, I don't want him here kind of thing, but it's like, I don't know if he's the guy to get you there, because the expectation last year was not to get top four, but you were in the position to get it, so see it through. And I can't, I can't allow him to have the excuse that some have been using that I think you had Partey and Tierney injured at the time. So obviously because they're two key players that kind of, I'm like, well, no, you have to find a way to work around that. It wasn't, it's not the fans' fault, anyone else's fault, but Arteta, that Tavares came back into the team, not fresh because he's not playing many games, didn't have the best of games, and next to the game you put Xhaka left back. That's a manager decision. That's not, you know what I'm saying? So if he's doing stuff like that, I don't know if I can be convinced by him. When it comes to United, we still got a couple of players in the team that shouldn't be playing for us, man. And that's just the
name and shame. Name and shame.
Also, very fair assessment so far. I cannot disagree with anything you've said.
Thank you.
Just because you said something good about Tottenham.
No, not necessarily. He said that there's still, you know, players in our team that shouldn't be starting.
You think about 20 of the 24 shouldn't be there. So
yeah, that's true. That's not. Anyway, continue.
Shaw shouldn't be there.
Just very quickly, just before you got here, I see a report that Alex Telles is on his way to Sevilla.
Yeah, I'm annoyed about that. Because
so what does that mean now? You're left with one left back who can't stay.
Malacia.
Malacia. Yeah, all right, so. You know what? I forgot about him and he's looked decent as well.
I've
sorry.
Heard he's very...
Yeah, Malacia looks good so far. Anyway, I'm not going to... But he's still... He's young boy as well. Yeah, so I'm hoping that Malacia can eventually take Shaw's place because I kind of ran out of patience with him. I'd have to talk about a certain centre back. That's just another, that's a podcast that'll take 2, 3, 4, 5 hours of your time. And I'm sure everyone wants to sleep this evening. Wan-Bissaka still doesn't convince me. Neither does Dalot.
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah. Neither does Dalot, to be fair. So I'm not sure about them. And then there's the fabled with the nickname, the midfield two, you know, the brothers in arms, brothers with different mothers and fathers as well. Yeah, McNugget. and the Bolivian. So, you know, we've got a couple of guys there. And finally, the I'm going to bring this name back because last time I was here, I said his name like this as well. Jermapel Jeffers, you know who we're talking about.
Yeah, do you believe in the remontada?
No.
You're not a believer.
Look at how I'm turning in my chair. Look at you guys here. Listen to this. He went on loan to Sevilla.
Yeah.
R9, who has no affiliation whatsoever with that club, did a video welcoming him to Spain and the club. And 3 games in, he was whistled off at halftime, whistled back onto the pitch. And bear in mind, Spanish fans don't ever boo. They booed him off the pitch at the 60th minute. And at the end of his loan, it was called a fiasco. Have you ever heard a loan move being called a fiasco? Do you know what that means? And I'm supposed to be gassed that this guy's coming back because he's scoring goals in friendlies. Nah, man. So, no, forget about that guy, actually. Yeah, it still has to be Ronaldo up top until we get someone else that's actually for the future. I'm hoping it's Sesko. Because I'm a big fan of
him. We played Salzburg last week.
He looks good.
I watched the game and he looked better than good. At 19 years old. Honestly, listen, they were already at this point 2 or 3 games into their season.
Yeah.
And we were kind of just halfway through our preseason. They won 1-0, but he was, honestly, and at that time I didn't know he was being linked to United.
Right.
So I kind of was watching it without like that bias of, if he's going United, I'll try and pick up on like, what's not going so well for him. I was just looking at him as a player.
Yeah.
Really impressive. Honestly, I think if that's a move you can make.
Yeah, the only stumble... So I mentioned in one of my group chats that I think he'd cost about 20 million. But I think after the Liverpool game, now they're asking for about 55.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But honestly, I've got to the stage where I'm like, it's not my money. So I just don't care
anymore.
It's true. If you want to get the guy, get him. Because if it works out well, 55 million looks like nothing. You know what I mean? And that's a potential strike.
I mean, let's
be
honest, 50 million nowadays is a 10 million, 10 years ago. Like, it's just almost the guy I'm rated for.
Yeah.
Young, up and coming.
Even exactly. Players on like 1 year deals are going for a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Sterling, 40 M's with 1 year left.
Yeah, no, it's close to 55.
Yeah.
Close to
55.
Yeah. Oh no, it was 45. Sorry.
Yeah.
Crazy. I've got two questions for you.
Yeah, go for it.
And then I actually want to come back to this conversation because it's really interesting. But I actually want to know what your top four prediction is outright. But before that, woo! I want to know if you were the United manager now.
Yeah.
And you had to pick your strongest 11, what would that be?
Oh, yeah.
Because I've seen some shocking ones on Twitter. I can't lie.
Yeah, someone in one of my group chats said that we need to start Tom Heaton instead of De Gea. And he got,
and did he get removed?
Immediately.
Oh, good.
As in, he posted a comment and the admin removed him like 10 seconds later. It was gone.
No. So, there is no way that is being... No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Can't
so
get away with that.
De Gea, what's his name? Malacia. Centre back Varane and Hasbullah. Right back Dalot for now.
Okay.
Defensive midfield, I'm going for 4-3-3. Interestingly enough, I don't know how United fans feel about this, but I feel like his qualities suit DM more than centre back. So I would put Lindelof as a defensive midfielder.
Whoa, okay.
We can discuss that later if you want to.
Okay. Wasn't expecting that.
Midfield two of Eriksen.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, would Eriksen start for you? So you've put him in there.
I think he has to. Right. It might be Eriksen. It might be Fred. I know what Bruno's done.
No.
But
he has to be on the bench.
This guy's not a Fred fan. I'm not a Fred fan either.
Trust me. I'm not. Oh, absolutely not. Hell no. But
in the name of balance.
Yeah.
In the name of balance.
Like he's still.
One,
but yeah, I mean, like if you're being fair, like comparing Fred and Bruno, it's like one, as Abdi would like to say, one's a terrorist of football, and the other one is just, you know, he's just play sideways.
Anyway, continue.
Front three, Sancho.
I do like Sancho.
Sancho will probably have to play right wing for now because we're not looking to sign. I don't think we're signing Anthony. I'm not mad at that. I like Sancho. On the right. I would like to see Ahmad there as well, but he's still a young boy.
He scored at the weekend, didn't he?
Yes, yeah. Rashford on the left, because Rashford has looked better with Sancho going forward as on the opposite side. So it looks like he's starting to get a bit of his groove back, and it looks like his job's a lot more simple. Use your pace, getting behind, just cause damage there, none of that. Getting the ball to your feet, rubbish, that he can't do. And has to be Ronaldo up top.
See, when you look at that front three, really, it's not that bad.
It's not bad at all. It should be doing a lot better.
It's actually very good.
Yeah.
It's still quite scary.
It's still really good. The
it's going backwards.
I know we've written off Rashford, but with Ten Hag, you just don't know. It could really sort of motivate him and you might get a new lease of life again with Rashford.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't written him off just yet because I feel like I don't like to go too deep into the stuff because mental health is a big conversation. But he just didn't look himself. Even in preseason, he looks a lot skinnier than he did 2 years ago. So I don't know if he's been hitting the gym the same way. I don't know if he just thought, maybe just change my style a little bit, get back to how I was. Could be anything. But he just didn't look happy in general to be on the pitch, to be off the pitch at all.
That you can't deny.
So I'm hoping that mentally he's got a lot more of a clearer headspace and the rest of it. So hopefully he can enjoy his football again. Don't look like he's enjoying himself for a while. And Sancho, left or right, I'm confident in his ability. Yeah. And I think Ten Hag's kind of manager that plays the style of football that suits
Sancho a lot more. Under your previous managers, I don't know, can we call them manager? I don't know. Yeah. But under your previous managers, they haven't really suited him where he likes to play like the quick 1-2s and then running behind and drift off players where previously there's too much space in front of him for him to actually like do what he's good at.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. I feel like we signed him without knowing what he wanted to do or what to do with him.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
A lot of United fans wanting him to be a direct winger. And I said,
he doesn't do any of that.
Like he's not done that ever. So it doesn't make sense to now tell him to try and be, I don't know, Morten Gamst Pedersen or some rubbish. You know, just
let him respect play. Morten Gamst Pedersen.
He was a great player. He had a wonderful left foot, but you knew his job was maybe, okay, let's go more Damien Duff. Just more direct down the left side.
Cool.
Good. No, great player.
Respect Damien Duff
as
well.
Great player, but that's his role. But that's what I'm saying. Sancho's also another great player, but don't give him a role that he doesn't do. He doesn't make that. Duff was a direct winger back in the day. So if you told him to be an inside forward, maybe he'd be able to do it, but to what scale, we don't know. Yeah. Whereas with Sancho, you know what he is. So don't make him be something else.
So if you were like Mark said, you're Man United manager.
Yeah.
And you can make three signings. Like, because you've obviously signed Hasbullah and...
let's call him by his actual name.
Okay, Martinez. And Malaysia. And have you signed... You haven't
Ericsson?
Signed it. Ericsson. So you've got three more signings before September comes along. Mm. What are the three positions and the players that you're signing?
I want a striker still. Even when we sign Ronaldo, I still want another striker regardless. Sesko would be number one for me. I think we need to think towards the future now.
Yeah.
Number two would be either central midfield or defensive midfield, depending on what you want. I've completely given up on this De Jong thing.
Oh yeah, how can we talk about that?
Oh my god! Now, everyone involved in this De Jong thing is absolute shambles, man.
Yeah.
It's just I'm tired of it every day. Like De Jong wants to stay, Barca wants him to leave. United are willing to pay the
Chelsea
20 million that he's owed.
it's just
Barcelona.
It's just crazy.
I'm sick and tired of it.
I don't think we're signing him, so I don't even talk about him anymore. I would prefer...
But would you want him?
Oh, if he was available, yeah. Like, it's genuinely available.
Let's be honest. Yeah, I don't think there's a club other than Barca, it seems, who would turn their nose up at.
Yeah, absolutely. He's quality, but I don't think we're getting him. So I would like... what's his brother's name? Fabian Ruiz from Napoli.
I read that Carlo Ancelotti wants him at Madrid.
Oh, Ancelotti.
Because he's worked with him before, obviously, at Napoli.
Yeah, so we're not getting him either. and one more. Centre back as well, actually. I say right back.
Got to be a right back for me.
But I don't know who we'd get. I've heard Dumfries.
You want Emerson Royale? You could take him, please. You know.
You guys call him Chicken Royale, so I'm good.
You like chicken? Right.
I do, but I don't like him.
I was about to say, he likes chicken, but he doesn't like chicken on the pitch. Like,
there you go.
But would someone like Carl Walker-Peters interest you?
I've heard that link. I don't know how to feel about it. It's not that I don't rate him. I just never thought of him as a. I don't know what to make of him. I'm gonna have to watch him a bit more and see what I. Mm. But I have no opinion on him. Like, he's not a bad player, but I just don't know if I can call him a really good player or what he is.
What I will say is that with that one is like when he was at Spurs, I thought he was shocking.
Yeah, he was.
And then when he moved to Southampton, he showed a bit different. Like he was very like reliable. When Livramento came and he started playing left back, I was like, okay, he could play left back as well and at a high level as well. Like the same level he's been playing at. So it was just interesting to see. I didn't see that player in him, and then he's obviously progressed.
I think it was just he needed game time, I think.
Yeah, and the trust of a manager.
Yeah, that's what it was. He just wasn't getting it at Spurs, so I thought a move was best for him, and I think that's why we saw him really excel at Southampton, but probably not for Man United. I think
he's better than...
Listen. Tans, I bring you back to this all the time, and it's... I just don't think you can turn your nose up at signings like that because a lot of the time they work. Robertson at Liverpool, Wijnaldum at Liverpool, Shaqiri at Liverpool, all signed from relegated teams in the Prem. They don't necessarily look like quote-unquote sexy signings.
But they work. Yeah, they do work.
They work. Mm. That's why I mentioned that name, not as someone I think maybe you should be targeting, but as an option.
I mean, I don't know. I can't really say right now because, I mean, I heard today at Chelsea are linked with him also.
Chelsea are linked with everyone.
Oh, hell no.
But if he went to Chelsea and it worked out, I'll come back here next time and be like, oh, I guess I should listen to that then. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
But you know the Frankie de Jong situation. Are you as a Man United fan not frustrated that you've not looked at other options? I think you've wasted a lot of time.
I feel like United have looked at other options, but United don't know how to turn their heads away from option A.
Yeah.
And that's what annoys me. How do I compare it to something? I don't want to compare it to. It's just like, you've been told that this guy is not really keen on coming to the club.
Just move on,
but
man.
Only because of the manager that he's worked with, maybe you hear it out. From there, it's got to be like, I don't know about that. But sure, all right, cool. Ten Hag wants him. It is what it is. Then Barca owe him money and they want you
to pay it.
It's almost like, I want to buy your car. Well, I bought it from this guy for a grand, so... If you give him the grand I owe him and then pay me on top.
That's crazy.
Why would I do that? You know what I mean? I don't understand paying for someone else's stupidity, quite frankly. So, and if he wants to stay for his money, to get his money, then more power to him. Listen, we're from London. Run me my piece. You know what I'm saying? Like, run me my piece. Get my money up. So If he wants to stay there and get his money, I'm absolutely fine. Rumors today now is that they're actually able to register the new signings and him. So maybe they don't need to sell him after all.
So, Barcelona, man.
Nah, I'm going to be honest, just from a selfish perspective, I need him to go. De Jong to go, because it looks like if they can get him off the books, they can get Bernardo Silva on the books. And that's what it sounds like is happening. And I'm going to be honest with you, City are easily a weaker side without Bernardo Silva in. So from that point of view,
I don't know where Barca are getting any of this money.
They've sold almost a quarter of their TV rights for the next decade, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That crazy, crazy situation to put yourself in.
I get that they're doing that, but they still owe players money. Yeah. So how are they buying players? How are you, De Jong, PK, whoever else?
Busquets.
And they're just sitting there, like, not being paid.
Yep.
And then you're just seeing Koundé walk in, 65 million.
Yeah,
Rafinha walk in, 65 million. 34, 35-year-old Lewandowski, 40 million. And I'm just thinking, like, I'm sorry, you owe me 20 million. Is that, like, does the money tree not fall this side? Or, like...
I'm very, very convinced at this point that they're doing, like, a James St. Patrick sort of... power, running a club, laundering money, cleaning it through the laundrette kind of. It doesn't make any sense. You can't say that a club has no money, that they're selling their rights from this to that because they need to somehow make some level of income or survive or meet FFP or whatever they're supposed to meet. And they're still spending over 150 million in this window alone.
It's nearly 200.
It's ridiculous.
I actually think they've spent the most out of any club in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and last summer they were owing 1.2 billion. There's no way that they've paid that back.
You know, they still haven't paid completely for Malcolm.
Mad. Oh, by the way, you missed Koundé off that list as well. That's another big money signing.
I think that was the first one I said.
Oh, is that the first one? Crazy.
Malcolm left in 2019. Where's the money? Where is the money?
Oh yeah, they owe him what? They owe them 8-9 million for that. I was reading as well.
Where is the money? And the club they bought him from, I forgot the name of it, but Bordeaux apparently they're struggling with money as well.
Oh, Bordeaux have been relegated
because of the money.
No, they had a poor season, but they're also like really struggling.
Speaking on Barcelona,
No.
The latest Fabrizio Romano, Barcelona and Memphis Depay lawyers are in negotiations to reach an agreement on a free agency. No way for 20 million feed. Depay will accept to leave Barca only in case he'll find the right option for his future. Memphis is considering top clubs. Would you take him back?
Nah, I can't do reruns.
Ronaldo was a rerun, though, no?
Oh, yeah, Ronaldo. That's true. Yeah,
but Ronaldo has
But it's a free, though. I can't lie to
you. On a free, it's not a bad idea.
Is that how desperate they are? Just to get the wages off the book, saying, you know what? Someone just take him.
Let me not lie, though. I want him to say no. Give me my money, too. I don't care. Because if he leaves Barcelona, like, I know when he joined them, he loved them since a youngster. Loved the club. That's his favourite club. So he'll do anything to play for Barca. He's got there. But... this is life. And I know as a footballer, you've made a lot of money. He's got his businesses. He's apparently a rapper.
A terrible one at that.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I use the word apparently. But at the end of the day, you still got to make a livelihood. You don't know what could happen in the future, where your money could go. You don't know what could happen. So please pay me what you owe me. Or at least if you want to make some money yourself.
But it says he'll only consider top clubs. Interesting.
Yeah, so.
I think a lot of clubs would still... yeah. Like, take Memphis, like...
he was linked with Villa, and I don't think he'll look at Villa as a top club.
I was about to say...
Villa, you lost me, but you lost me.
I think if it was a club that isn't in the top six in England, he'll probably only consider Newcastle.
I was about to ask
Newcastle. I don't even think he'll go England. I think he'll... somewhere like Italy.
Italy,
You've got, like... you've got your three big clubs
Germany.
There.
Dortmund need a striker because of the Haller situation. Like,
they've brought in Adeyemi, though, who's young baller. But, like, he's a proper baller.
That's one striker that you can't rely on an 18-year-old.
Haller, unfortunately. I don't know if you guys have read about...
yeah, that's what I...
is that what you just said?
Yeah.
See, I do this every week. You know what I like to test?
Oh, yeah, you're just testing me.
Just testing.
I'm passing, bro. Flying colours.
I know, bro. That's what I'm saying. It's good
but
for
no,
me,
like, get well soon, Hala, and it's really
honestly
unfortunate.
Very sad.
But yeah, I mean, Dortmund, I think that would be a great fit.
Dortmund, Juventus.
Oh, man, forget Juventus, man. Barcelona and Juventus are the two teams that I just need gone, bro. I'm sick and tired
that,
of these two.
That Arta, who did they go? Arta and Pjanic, innit? When they did a swap deal.
Yeah.
That's money laundering. That was blatant. That was blatant money laundering. Yeah,
yeah. That's right next to the Morata though.
Allegedly. Just put that
wait, Kojo, no, you didn't give us your... Kojo didn't give us his top four predictions. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Okay. I know who's finishing top two first.
Who's finishing first?
I don't know. That's the reason I say I don't know is because I actually said in my group chat, weirdly enough, that I feel like it's going to be a three horse title race this season. I just need the transfer window because I'm happy with all the signings a lot of teams have done, like in and around. So I'm interested to see what happens. I'm interested to see Liverpool without Mane. Don't get me wrong, I know Diaz is really good. I know I was a fan of Nunez. I went in at Man United, so anyone that saw my tweets, I was choking. Even back in November, I was in group chats. I'll show you guys later. Shouting at Julian Alvarez, and then I saw he went to City, and
that's actually pain.
Like, so you're the two strikers that you've been. They've honestly gone to your two big, probably the two clubs you hate the most. Or?
Let me not lie to you. Yeah. I am usually very calm and relaxed. My voice notes, I'm unrecognizable. I've never sworn so much in my life.
That so United get the Sesco one.
Please.
Done, or you're going to send Kojo to him. You're going to send him into her.
Please. Otherwise, when I pick up my daughter, she's going to be like, no, he's angry. Get off me. get off me, man. Yeah. So, Man City and Liverpool are finishing top four. For sure.
We sat here last week and we gave order. We put our neck on the line. Your neck on the line.
Okay, say this. All right. Anyways, I'm going to say, I'll say my team first and second, but the only problem is it's either one of two things. Either Liverpool equal the 20 titles or Man City equal 3 titles in a row. So either way, I cannot win.
I can't win.
Could you give us a bit of grace though for that? We actually stopped them doing that a couple of years
ago. You did, which I was happy about.
They've won two, then we won it, then they won two.
I was happy about
you,
that.
You need like an out of the blue, like Brighton to win the league. Yeah,
honestly,
I need someone else, man, because Man United are not doing it for a while, so. Okay, top four. I'll go City first. Okay. Liverpool will finish second. Third.
So this is the three horse race. We're about to find out the surprise team.
It's tough.
It is very tough. I actually said in one of my group chats that it will be one of the North London clubs.
Mm, and you're going to go Spurs.
And the other one's going to finish fifth.
So Spurs third in a title race.
Spurs only because of Conte. But then Arsenal have made some good signings and it looks like they've got a good squad unit, chemistry going already. Yeah. So I'm going to say Man United fourth. That might just be my head being stupid again. But Man United going fourth. And third, I am going to go... You know what? I'm going Spurs.
Chelsea and interesting. Arsenal.
No, listen, everyone's entitled to.
The reason I'm going to go Spurs, they might be wrong. I probably will be wrong. Man United might finish sixth again. But the reason I'm saying Spurs more as well is because Harry Kane, he's a huge difference maker with the goals. And now, I keep saying it, he hasn't got Bergwijn or Moura on that side anymore. He's actually got someone with common sense on that side, in Kulusevski. So. I just feel like...
You hear that, Abdi? Because he's been slandering Kulusevski. I'm telling you.
Why?
I don't know. He's got an agenda.
This is Abdi.
He's Abdi. He's got an agenda.
This is the guy who brought you Hezbollah. McMahon.
What does he call him?
Kulusevski.
This guy.
He said that Nunes is he can't run.
He's one of those guys that if Kulusevski played for Arsenal and he did what he did for Spurs...
No, listen. He's one of those guys that unless they've got an Arsenal top on, they're not safe.
They're not safe. So essentially, he rates Pepe. We have to be fair to him
that if you do wear an Arsenal top or don't wear an Arsenal top, you can get. So basically, anyone can get it.
Anyone can get it, unless your name is Saka.
Yeah.
But then you just can't get it.
You can't get it.
Saka is his son. So so that he's protected by that law.
But I just wanted to. So something that is interesting me a lot. So you said one North London club will come third. And obviously now we know that's Spurs. And one will come fifth, so that's Arsenal. So you think Chelsea are coming sixth?
I don't trust Chelsea. And it's not so much actually to do with the players right now. It's to do with Tuchel. because his press conferences are worrying me.
Yeah, like, actually,
yeah, that's
now that you raise that.
He doesn't look convinced by his team.
Did a single one of us have Chelsea?
No,
I put them fourth.
Tommy did.
Oh, Tommy and Tanya.
Yeah, I put them fourth. Yeah,
but everyone else no.
Tuchel, he keeps complaining about the squad, but you signed Sterling, you signed Koulibaly, you signed a couple of other players. Like, you've got
today they signed. I'm gonna ruin his name.
Chukwuemeka.
Thank you, yes. Kojo saved.
But there's still deficiencies, though. Like, would you say there's still a lack of goals?
They need a centre back. They need a striker. They need a winger.
I think Cucurella is actually a good signing for them.
But they've got Chilwell. I don't know. You know, like, I feel like at this point, yeah, I know they. Well, you got.
But that's like
Chilwell and
that's kind of like saying why go and sign Zinchenko when you've got Tierney there.
No,
I know he's injury prone, and
he also Zinchenko. The idea is that he could play in midfield as well, but
Cucurella, I know people might not believe this, but in a back three, he can play centre back on the left of a three.
Okay, then that makes sense. Because I was going to say, you're buying two. Well, you've already got Chilwell, who's an England international, and then you're going to have.
Yeah, but then again, like I read something on The Athletic earlier that Chelsea might be veering towards a back four this season, which then brings back that question.
Tuchel, don't do it, man.
Actually, but that's what he only played five. To be fair to him, he only played five at the back at Chelsea because he came in and it was a shambles. At PSG and Dortmund, if I'm not mistaken, he was always back four.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But there's something weird about his press conferences that are just not doing it for me. He just doesn't seem convinced. And Chelsea are a club from when they got taken over to now, same old thing. If you do not back your players, they will never back you, no matter what the squad is. So I just, I've not bought into
it. Although they're new owners though.
Yeah, could be a different thing.
New owners. I tell you what I think about that Chelsea team. I don't think there's enough goals in that team.
They need a killer.
I actually think they need a lot more than they think they need. I think they need a centre midfielder who can create, because I know they don't play in that way, but like I look at all of their centre midfielders and I know that Havertz used to play in the 10 for Bayer Leverkusen, but other than him, I don't see him as a creator. I see him more as like late runs in a box, a goal and link-up play, but I feel like they need a creator. I feel like they need a winger. I feel like they need a striker. I feel like they need another centre-back.
I just can't write Chelsea off like this.
Yeah, no, you can't
they're
write them off. Listen,
no, they're first 11.
With Chelsea, they've just got the know-how. They're just always... when they face adversity, that's what I worry about Chelsea, because look at when they had Lampard, they sacked him, got one Champions League. I just think maybe we are. Let's not forget, it would not surprise me in the slightest if they finish third again next season.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I'm not lying. You've got a point, because we're saying they need goals. Sterling is a goal getter.
Yeah, he is.
So that's number one on the boards. Mm-hmm.
But
and
they don't have a striker.
They don't.
Decent Havertz. I like Havertz.
I mean, no, I'll tell you what, I like Havertz, but I'm on Havertz watch this season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, as in.
Let's remember, 92 million.
He needs to do a lot more.
Okay, I thought it was 80, which is still a lot, but
92 million.
He does need to do a lot more, but what I will say is I feel like Tuchel finally had a system with him towards that run towards the Champions League final, that 4-9 thing, and then they bought in. I'm so happy. You're right. I called him out from earlier, so this guy's not going to
work. A lot of Man United fans do,
because he is Belgian waffle belly on. and listen, I said this guy's not going to do it, and because when you got a system that works and it gets you Champions League, you beat Man City in the final. Like, you've got something that's going for you. You didn't need to change it. I feel like if you get that working with Sterling, I don't know who's going to be on the right side, but
I think actually Sterling will be, and it will be Mount on the left.
Ooh, I don't know.
You don't think Sterling plays on the right for England majority of the time?
He still does.
And he still scores as well.
They still got Pulisic there, Mount. I think they need to start thinking about getting a replacement for Kante. Just because
I said this last season, midway through season,
you can see it in it.
I still see it. Like they're the three that they rely on. Obviously, if they're moving back to back four, it'll be interesting to see how they do it. But the three that they rely on is Kovacic, Kante, and Jorginho, and neither of them are creative.
Let's be honest, Gallagher's almost like a new signing for them.
It's true, but he's also not creative. He's more of like he'll score goals
and energetic.
He'll win the ball back high up. But when you're looking at it, like Okay, so you don't have a striker, and if you do play Kai Havertz up there, fair enough, because he will get you a goal. He's like I said, good link-up play. But then where's the creativity coming from?
Yeah.
Mm. Listen, you can make it work. Let's not forget, we won a Champions League with a midfield of Henderson, Milner, Wijnaldum. There's no creativity there. Give Wijnaldum a bit of creativity, but in the main, there's no creativity
but
there.
Your we've creativity stepped up, comes
from it comes the, from the fullbacks, yeah. But actually we've stepped... To back up your point now, we've gone up a level. This whole team has gone up a level since Thiago's come in.
Yeah.
A player who's comfortable on the ball, creating,
that's
keeps
what
the ball.
We need at Spurs.
So on that point, it's definitely need someone. And yeah, and actually on that point, Spurs need someone.
Yeah, we do.
And the thing I love about Thiago is that he's not the typical needs to be high up the pitch. He creates from deep.
Yeah.
And I think if we're being honest, the style that Chelsea and Tottenham play, they need a Thiago.
Yeah, we do. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He'd be perfect.
So, like, a Madison, I feel, wouldn't work in your team.
Yeah.
Thiago would be the most perfect player for your team because Conte loves to play with the two holding. Yep. And so, like, Thiago would just sit in there, ping balls in, and Kane would just have a field day. But, so, like, yeah, like you said, the level's elevated. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, like, Chelsea
they
always...
They do get Cucurella, and then obviously they've got Reece James. That's
yeah, easy. But if you're moving away from the wing-backs, obviously you could play, like, Liverpool.
Yeah.
But I feel like those two full-backs at Liverpool are just perfect for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I can see, we say all of this, and then Chelsea go win 10 games, 1-0.
I mean,
that's the beauty of the Premier League, right? We're making these predictions, but...
Transfer window still open as well. Yeah. Anything
can happen. Football is a mad game. And the Premier League
Cucurella
is a mad
done,
league.
Yeah.
Listen, who knows? They might get De Jong. You just don't know.
Who, Chelsea?
Yeah.
If they get De Jong, I might just choke. I might just choke.
You know, the Champions League football, there is actually a space for him there.
And let's not lie here. And everyone that's listening, if you're from Manchester, I'm telling you the truth. London's a lot more attractive. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's true.
It is what it is.
Yeah, you know.
My boy lives in Manchester and he's screaming to come back to London already. So, it's just what it is.
Ah, it's peak.
So you got Man United top four.
That's just me trying to be hopeful, if I'm being honest.
Do you know what? I don't blame you because I do think it's difficult. It's going to be a very competitive top four, third race, even with the first place. You can still make a very strong case for Liverpool winning it
100%.
Or Man City winning it.
And the thing is what I don't like as well that I've noticed recently is you can't be hopeful for your team. Because if you're hopeful for your team, you're deluded. Where's all this coming? Like it's the start of the season. If there's any time for you to be deluded or hopeful,
it's now. It's such a good point. It's so a fair point.
Okay, cool. We've been in the Premier League. Yeah, no, thank you very much.
No. I never said that.
hopeful.
Yeah, hopeful.
Listen, you said now's the time to be deluded.
Fine, yeah.
Okay,
but don't press the button.
If Conte was to lead Tottenham to a title,
it won't happen.
I'm ending this podcast.
Listen, I've already said if we was to win the Premier League, I'm going down Tottenham High Road with no clothes on, and I'm
Wait, you can't say that.
Allegedly, all right. We don't want to see a packed out Tottenham High Road, man. On that.
And I'm getting my Spurs shirt, and I'm doing a what's her name?
Chloe Kelly.
I'm doing a Chloe Kelly.
I'm actually finished.
I don't know where we go from here, but
can I just say, if you guys were to actually win the league, Kale's probably gonna listen to this, but
I'll get a tattoo. Honestly, yeah. I would.
What I would do is I would invite you and as many fans of Tottenham as possible onto the podcast. I would do an introduction on purpose with just me and Cahill because I control it, so he won't be able to see anyone in the background. And then I'll go off, leave him there for 10 seconds looking confused and just get every Spurs fan on there and just sit back.
You're evil, man.
That is evil. That's very calculated.
You've
been thinking about this one for a while, isn't it?
No, it's been for the last two seasons now. Every time Arsenal look at Arsenal game where I think they're going to lose, I get the fan in question to come to the podcast, and I love like two or three more of them, and it happens, and I'm like, it's just got to run, man. Sorry, man. So Kale will come on here, he'll just be like, oh, fuck's All right, cool. Let's just do this. So he knows how the game is.
Bro, this is, I feel like this is bullying.
Listen, I'm a
in the name of mental health, I think we need to have a discussion off air, bro.
Just reach out. Just reach out, bro.
I'm a lovely guy, but you know, when it comes to my close ones, I'm an absolute villain.
I love that.
I just wanted to, just very quickly, I'm interested now. We've done top four, but just very briefly, who you think will go down?
Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Fulham. And Southampton.
Southampton.
Yes.
Okay. Why did you just break that up into two words? I don't said South.
Hampton. the delay was
fair enough. Well, so you think you're not confident, but you feel like Forest will have just about enough?
Yeah, I think they're going to have one of those seasons where they would probably finish 16th, 17th. They'll put it out of the bag, but then the next year will probably be a bit more difficult
second
for them.
Second season syndrome.
Yeah. I don't have any faith in Bournemouth. I have no faith in Fulham.
Fulham and Norwich.
There's just an agreement that Norwich go up,
Fulham go down, exactly. Norwich got it.
So I'm already expecting that next.
Southampton, I do not like Hasenhüttl.
Oh, I was proper on the Hasenhüttl train, you know.
Really?
I was even at one point saying, yeah, let's get him a Spurs manager.
Yeah, Tanya said Southampton were going to win the league.
Like, okay. I said everyone was going to win the league, according to you lot. I was on that train, but I hear it now.
Tanya, when you know when Hasenhüttl cried? In the Tanya came on here saying, my manager.
Oh, did I?
Hey, listen, a man that can work in the Premier League and lose 9-0 two seasons in a row. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, so who's going to be it this season? Who's he going to lose 9-0 to this season?
Oh, what, Haaland? Oh, my God. Haaland's going to use that game to finish him, in my opinion. He's going to finish them.
All right. So, I saw something interesting. Brentford are close to signing Damsgaard.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like,
hold on, what?
It's not a bad deal at all.
I thought that was pretty decent.
15 million.
Yeah. The shock.
Honestly, you guys saw Kojo
is in a genuine state of disbelief.
Yeah, yeah.
How much? What's the fee?
It's like 14, 15 million.
You are joking me.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm with Kojo. What?
Yeah. How did Damsgaard for that little?
I don't know.
I'm actually kind of fuming. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm actually kind of fuming.
But did you want him?
Not that I didn't consider him for the summer, but I've always thought he's a really good player.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's quite young as well.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's a great signing.
That is great.
And Burmo, Damsgaard, Tony.
That's a good. You got Tony. Tony's good. You got the work rate of Burmo because he's end products. My God.
And he loves to hit the post, that guy.
He loves it. Then you got Damsgaard's good, man. Okay, Brentford might be a problem.
So I kind of, because we discussed it last week about the lack of creativity since Eriksen's gone. Yeah. So I thought, when Damsgaard, I saw that came up, I was like, okay. So creativity on the wide. It'd be interesting if they sign another midfielder, like centrally. But yeah, I thought that was a good signing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't think that was going to shock people.
I was shocked when I saw it.
He's like a proper young, good talent. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, even I thought his next move would probably be in Italy somewhere. I didn't think he'd come to the Premier League. Well done, Brentford.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well done, Brentford.
So on that, has there been any other signing that you looked at and you were like, "Rah, that's good business, that is."
So Gabriel Jesus for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, I think everyone's annoyed about that.
That's a good signing because I feel like a lot of people, straight away when you're linked with him, it was the idea that he hadn't scored any more than like 15 league goals. But I'm like, he played for City. He played against Aguero, essentially. And at City, no one's, apart from like maybe KDB, Edison, one or two others, no one's really got a permanent starting spot there. So he's done really well. He scored 95 goals for City. That's really good considering...
Big game player as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I think giving him an actual run in a team, really impressive. Fabio Carvalho for you guys.
Yeah.
That one hurt me, not gonna lie as well.
Everything's hurting you, man.
No, it hurts, man. Because me and Darren, the third member of Free Midfield, we grew up just loving watching other leagues and like, he's the one that really got me into it, watching other leagues and finding new young talent and all that. Like the first guy I really got attached to was Aguero. You know how that turned out. So
all I'm hearing is pain.
It's just pain, man.
Pain, bro.
It's just pain since 2012, man. So like, seeing all these guys come through, and then Fabio Carvalho, he mentioned to me, he goes, have you seen this kid at Fulham? I was like, not really, but let me just watch him, and he's good. Yeah. He's good. So I think under Liverpool, they've got another good young player.
I have a little thing about Carvalho. So 3 years ago, when Fulham were in the Premier League, they're already going down. And so I think they might have played Wolves.
Okay.
And Carvalho started that game, and he scored.
Oh.
And so I brought it on the podcast. I was like, promising young player, Carvalho scored for Fulham. Abdi comes to me, you can't make up players. The player that they have is, do you remember they have that, he also started with a C. I can't remember, but he said the player's name. And then I was like, Google it. And so he Googled it, and there he was, Carvalho. He was like, oh, I didn't even know this guy was. I was like, yeah. He was like 17, 18 at the time.
He's 19 now, so yeah. 3 years.
16. Yeah. So, yeah, he might have been 17 because it was at the end of the season. Yeah, so, yeah. And I remember it was a good goal. And I just, from there, I was like, oh, he's going to be a problem because he's 17 and he's scoring a banger like that. And
yeah.
And that's in the Prem. He's really got his first Prem goal already.
Yeah.
Mad.
Wow. Yeah. So, Carvalho, I'm a big fan. Perisic is a very underrated signing for me. And the reason I say that is because, firstly, free transfer, always good. So that's low risk. You don't have to worry about that. But more importantly, it's the case of, for me, that I feel like, other than Son on the left side, they've been missing something for a while on that whole side. And he's so good. And he's just a very experienced, intelligent footballer.
Yeah.
And he's looked after himself as well, so you don't have to worry about fitness too much.
He's in great shape. He's really good. I've seen the pictures in training. I'm like, damn. Yeah. Not in that way. I'm just saying, he looks good.
Oh, wait, we can never know with you.
No, not in that way.
You should have seen the group chat when Nunes scored. Bloody hell, man.
Okay. he's a handsome guy, man. Nunes is a handsome guy. He's a handsome guy, man.
No.
Degree.
Listen, I'm judging him as a football player. Yeah, and as a football player only.
Mark, what was that? No, Mark will agree. What's happening?
Well, because he plays for Liverpool, like, yeah, he's fit.
Come on.
Okay.
Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, no, Perisic is a very underrated player. Can play left wing, left back, left wing back. So you've got options there for different tactical approaches and everything as well. For Man United, maybe Eriksen. I feel like we've missed an actual pure creator and someone that's so good at set pieces. Like, just really good at set pieces. We haven't had
corners,
though. But we've had Luke Shaw take corners. So, right now, I can't.
Anything is a...
And before that, it was Phil Jones. So,
Hold on. Just everyone chill. What?
You don't remember Phil Jones at Fulham?
Yeah, I remember. You remember?
What?
Hands up in the air, everything.
Do you remember?
Whipping the ball.
What, as a one-off? Or he was your corner taker?
He took him for like 3 games in a row.
Yeah. Don't you remember this?
Phil Jones was...
Wait, who was your manager at this time?
It might have...
Wasn't it Van Gaal?
It might have... It was Van Gaal or Mourinho. One
I think it was Van Gaal.
I remember
this vividly.
Some dark days, man.
Man United fans on Twitter complaining about Phil Jones taking a corner. I'll never forget this.
But outside of him taking corners, which is wild to me, would you just not prefer him in the box anyway?
Oh, yeah, naturally, yeah. But
attacking the
Van
corners.
Van Gaal, it was wild times, bro.
Honestly, you Google Phil Jones corner, you see the picture of his hands.
Yeah. I remember it vividly. I can never forget.
Honestly. Eriksen.
So what's the contrast going to be like? Bruno and Eriksen playing side by side. So like Eriksen's
I'm
like
Team Eriksen.
Really tidy on the ball. Bruno launching the ball into the stratosphere.
Would you trust them together though with someone like, dare I say it, McTominay in behind or Fred, but someone who's there essentially to get the best out of the two in front of him and do the dirty work behind them.
I will trust them two to do their jobs with that, knowing that they have a lot more freedom going forward. I think Bruno, as sloppy as he has been on the ball, I think that's a part of that is because he's had to do a lot more on the ball and he just wants to make things happen. He's not a player that wants to play like a counter-attacking style or anything like that. He wants to go on the ball and keep going forward. So, but only the two names that you mentioned behind him, like you can't trust them to do their jobs. So, you know, McTominay, for example, if I can just let me try and criticize him properly without actually going mad. His positional awareness is very poor. Very poor. In a two by himself, he just goes elsewhere and the gap just opens every time between him and Fred. And then Fred, like in pre-season, he was winning a lot of tackles because he kept on giving the ball away. So he's not really, he does really bad things and then corrects himself and then just does the bad thing again. So, you know, I don't think Ivan Dem helped. And that's why I mentioned Lindelof. Lindelof isn't like, I'm not saying Lindelof should be the defensive midfielder for Man United. What I'm saying is, of all the current options right now, he's a better passer than both of them. Positionally, he's actually really good. Defensively, what our issue was at United is that he's just not strong enough. And he's not really great in the air. So if you kind of remove him from that situation where he can be more of an interceptor, just read the game a bit more, use his passing range, because the two times Rashford or three times Rashford scored goals last season, Lindelof literally started it or played the long pass twice and found him on the run. So he's got the keys for it. He played a little bit of that at Benfica as well, but he didn't play often because he's obviously a centre-back. So I just think it's a shout that he can, even if he's not the main man there, as a backup,
Has it been works. Has it been something that's been tested in pre-season?
Not yet.
It's just this is just a cold job. Yeah, this is vision. Yeah.
You know, pre-season's over. About not yet.
Well. Oh yeah, damn.
Season starts this weekend.
I'm going to Old Trafford on Sunday. I completely forgot.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm only going because I got a free ticket. Trust me, I would not be going
that's
for any other reason.
I'm like, you're tricking.
Me, Payne, ha! Had to watch that. Oh boy!
You never know; it could be the start of a dynasty.
Brighton, that's who you got. Okay.
You got Brighton.
Okay. Brighton. Wait, after what was the score when you last Brighton game?
They beat us, I think 3-0 No, 4.
4. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it was 4.
All the goals were coming back. Yes, 4.
You just erased that whole season.
That was away.
They might lose. They've lost still Bissouma. Going to lose Cucurella potentially. Actually, Brighton are still a threat.
They're still a good team. Yeah. Still a good team.
They've replaced them.
But from a United perspective, you need to win that game on Sunday.
Yeah,
definitely. But I also think you need to, if possible, set a bit of a statement.
Desperately. Now, I know it's the first game of the season, so I won't get excited. Because last year we started kind of well, and brought Ronaldo in. He scored goals. Everyone's getting a bit giddy. I just need to see the team like take the lead and not take the foot off the gas like Southgate did. You know, I just need them to say, "All right, we're 1-0 up. I want another, and I want another after
okay,
that."
Okay, all jokes aside, Martinez. Yeah, I do think he's a quality player.
Yeah.
The only thing that concerns me is like, let's say you're away at West Ham, and then you've got
Scamacca and Antonio.
Yeah, Antonio. And Antonio is West a unit, Ham. Like.
Yeah.
And he will run him over, is what I'm worried about.
He wins a high percentage of aerial duels, though, to be fair to him, given his height.
But I wasn't even talking about long balls. I was
just a physical battle.
Just a physical battle. Like, because now, what we're seeing in the Premier League, like Liverpool went and signed Nunez, City signed Haaland, the physicality of those number nines. I'm not even talking about their height. It's just a physical battle. Like, do you think he can, like, honestly? Because I know he's technically sound.
Yeah.
But it's the side of the Premier League that you don't have in Holland, Italy, and Spain, maybe.
So he had, like, a nickname. I've got a nickname. It's sort of to pretty much say that he's a bit of an aggressive player. Someone that loves challenges and all that stuff. So I think he'll cope fine. Mm-hmm. Because I also feel like the Premier League is, not that it's going away from that physical aspect, it never will, but there's a lot more teams trying to get technical players, so you can maybe compete with them on a more technical basis. I think he's going to cope fine. He's going to have one or two struggles, definitely. Who won't? You know.
And plus, you have to adapt to the Premier League. Like.
Exactly. So he's going to have a couple of struggles, and I expect that, and that's fine. I'm not worried. He's also 24, so he's got time to actually, you know, grow into the league and... You know, so I think he'll be fine. I just think what's very important is whoever is around him needs to also back him in battles. United haven't had that for a while. You'll see Liverpool, Robertson, for example, but that's partly of that is because I know Robertson will go on back beef for Liverpool no matter who it is.
Yeah, that is true.
And we used to have that. So the reason I don't like it is kind of like a jealousy thing. It's like, I know he's a good player. He's a bit of a twat, if you would, but he does it because he wants to back his players and make sure his players don't lose any battles. And if they need to go into a fight, he's first in line to back them no matter what. United don't have that.
Don't worry, I missed that too.
We had that. It was great times, man. Great times.
I feel like that's coming back at Arsenal, though. I feel like the togetherness in the group.
Yeah.
I could sense it, like, in pre-season. They're always... I don't know. I could just sense it.
Yeah, no. And I see it as well, actually. I've seen it for a while from Arsenal. I've just not said it because I, in my... sort of like going back to my childhood, watching United and Arsenal beef each other. Yeah. I don't want one side doing that and they were just doing nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I think he'll be fine. And I think we have a bit more, we have a manager that's a lot more assertive. So he's gonna expect a bit more bite from the team. He's gonna want that. And if they don't do that, then you're gonna have to go out. That's what's gonna have to happen. So I think he's gonna be okay. The one person I'm worried about him going up against in aerial battles is Van Dijk. I thought Van Dijk's gonna target him. Say, you're 5'9".
Body.
Yeah, I'm coming for you, mate. You're first. You know, so yeah, because Van Dijk in the air is ready.
Should we start getting posters like they have in the NBA? Start having posters in the Premier League. Van Dijk versus Martinez.
I really know Sky Sports or BT, whoever shows the game, is gonna do one of those comparison, like UFC things with the reach difference and all that rubbish. So saying that, I really don't have to do this, man. But yeah.
But anyway, Kojo, unless we have any other questions.
No. Thanks
thank
for
you
coming
so
on.
Much.
Thank you for having
for coming
me, man.
On.
Honestly.
Pleasure as always. And I feel like you've handled the United defence with dignity.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely bring you back on to have a one-on-one with the trouble starter himself.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That has to happen. He talked crud and fled the country.
And left the country. He actually left the country.
Well, listen, word has it, he's still actually in the country. And all the background noise you heard from his audio clip earlier was just a YouTube. he's still here, you know that. He was just too scared to come today.
He's chilling with the chickens, his neighbour's chickens.
We'll have to get you on though if you're up for it. Because it can get feisty, but after United Arsenal play each other in the league this season.
What about Arsenal? I mean, what about United Liverpool? Why
Arsenal
crud?
Bro? Listen, I'm here with Kojo today. Abdi's not here.
Let me not lie. I have missed Arsenal versus Man United beef. So
let me not be here that day then.
Oh, please be here. Be like a referee for us.
What do you mean? I'm gonna get strays. I'm gonna get too involved.
Yeah. Or we play it a little safer and just go. I'm not even sure if there's an international break before the World Cup, but next international break where everything's just a bit calmer.
Okay.
Nah, you know what? I hear it with the Arsenal United thing. So we play you at Old Trafford. I think in like September,
yeah,
October,
I think
or something.
Yeah.
Like. So we'll organize something. But thank you again for coming on. Do you want to plug your stuff one more time?
Yeah.
Episode coming out Monday. Rebrand.
Yes.
Rebrand.
So obviously still Free Midfield. If you see a new name out of nowhere, you'll know what it is. Mm-hmm. I'll probably put my picture on there so you notice me. But new shows coming up, new content. It's going to cover many things. Me personally, outside of football, I'm a huge fan of tennis. I'm a huge fan of the UFC or MMA in general, actually, because I do like a bit of Bellator. And I still do watch WWE, so I do love watching wrestling and talking about that as well. That market's growing as well, so we might look to go into that.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, Free Midfield still. My personal one is Kojo Free Midfield, so check me out on there. Cahill never plugs himself, so the C _ Maxim 44.
Love
follow
that,
that guy.
Follow that guy.
He never plugs himself, so I'm going to plug him for it. You know what I'm saying?
That's our brother, right? Yeah.
And the real one.
If you haven't liked, subscribed to this channel, what the hell are you doing?
Yes!
Love that.
And on that note, we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Peace out.
Beautiful. Sports Social Podcast Network.